It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And I can't help myself. I have an itch I need to scratch here. A couple of broadcasters in hot water this week. One I completely understand. The other, not so much. Tom Brenneman does play-by-play for the Cincinnati Reds, stepped in it big time. Open mic, said a gay slur. He's done. That one, completely understandable. There's certain ones, Chris, I think we can agree. We know what the real radioactive ones are, and that if you're spouting it out and it comes over the air, your employer has every right to say, we're done here. We want nothing to do with you. Thom, I hate when Tom used the H in their names. Thom Brenneman, completely understandable why he is now gone. If you've heard the clip, not great. And there's no joking behind it either. There's a real tone behind it, too. It's like, ooh, what do you say in your private time? Thom Brenneman, I completely get it. I have no remorse for you. This Mike Milbury thing that popped up in the last 24 hours or so, if you don't know, NBC Sports has removed Mike Milbury from his, he was supposed to call a game last night, and he didn't end up doing that. And I think he's been popped for the weekend, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're not firing him as of right now, but who knows, that could change. But he's a lot of backlash on social media, shocker, against commentary that he made during a game on Thursday night in the Islanders, Washington Capitals series. And so we don't have the clip, but what was going on here was he made a comment. There was a play with play-by-play man Brian Boucher about the bubble environment that the players are in up in Edmonton and Toronto. And Boucher said, if you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regard to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place. Milbury responded, it's the perfect place. Not even any women here to disrupt your concentration. Well, this has blown up into a whole thing on Twitter, because that's what Twitter is now. It's just it's a sewer. And what I don't get is that this thing has been misconstrued, in my opinion, Chris, in that it's you see a lot of women that work in sports media that took offense to this because they're looking at this as Mike Milbury saying it's – am I wrong here in thinking that the way this has been taken by a lot of women that work in sports media is like Milbury said this because he's happy that the players don't have to deal with – women reporters and women in the locker room.
I don't know what it is.
It's not that at all. If you heard the comment, even me just saying it, it's the boxing adage of, women make the legs weak. You know, like these guys, if they weren't in the bubble, would be out, if they're single, you would think, in bars and trying to, meet women. Like that's what happens. That's what professional athletes do. They go to other cities.
Yeah.
They meet women. They party with them. And it's on in the next city. That's typically what happens. That's the way it's always happened. Doesn't make it right, wrong, however you want to feel about it that way, but that's what happens. And their concentration might not be what it typically would be because they're out focusing on other things, like, trying to get into Pound Town. Like, that happens. That's what I think Mike Milbury meant.
And I also think, and I'm not making excuses for Mike Milbury, I think he was trying to be probably a little too cute. But also, remember, Mike Milbury has been an NHL coach. So he is
so he
had,
knows.
He knows what happens with players and how maybe their focus can be on the wrong things at this time of year.
So, yeah, this was just one that made me feel like, boy, we've reached the point of no return. Like, there's no nuance doesn't exist anymore, Chris. There's really no gray area. Like, it's we're mad. This segment of the population is mad. Apologize, apologize, apologize. If you don't, it's probably not going to be good enough anyway. We want you to lose your job. In Mike Milbury's case, like, this one, I don't get it. Like, again, if you hear the thing in real time, like, I don't think he's being misogynist. I don't think that he's trying to take a shot at women reporters or anything like that. He's just, again, as you mentioned, this is a guy that's been a coach. He's been a player in this league. He knows what goes on during the league when these guys have downtime. That's all he was talking about. They're not going to get distracted by trying to go to bars and pick up women or anything like that. That's all that he meant. And I hope that he doesn't get fired. Again, with Thom Brenneman, completely understand it. Yeah. The other guy, do you read the story about the Charlotte Hornets radio announcer who was suspended? I don't know if he's completely lost his job. Tweets the N-word on Monday, says it's a mistake when he was referring to the Denver Nuggets. I at this point, I feel like we know how autocorrect works on your phones. If Nuggets autocorrects to that word,
you've used it before.
You use it a lot, dude.
Exactly. 100%.
Put it in your, try it right now. Pick up your iPhone or your Samsung device. Write Nuggets. What's it autocorrect to? It won't be that unless you use that word a lot in your texts. So that one.
I'm going to try it.
I'm telling Chris, it'll probably go to, like, I don't know, Nuggies or something like that. Like, it'll be, it won't be that unless you're texting that to people that you're constantly texting. So that one makes not a lot of sense to me. So, you know, the Hornets end up actually firing him because as of right now, I think it's only suspension for John Falk, I think is his name. Look, there's certain ones we know are radioactive. You probably shouldn't be using. You definitely shouldn't be using. I understand why you lose your job. This Milbury thing, we've reached the point of no return. Like, it's, wow, it's really crazy. That's one where
I just typed Denver Nuggets in a text to you and it just came out Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, like that's
it didn't autocorrect anything.
Nope, certainly shouldn't. Yeah. That one's, but yeah, boy.
I tried misspelling Nuggets and it changed it to muted. Oh, this is kind of fun now.
Yeah. I just hate when it goes to duck. That's not what I'm trying to use when I use. Nope. What I'm trying to use should not go to duck every single time. The big story out of Patriots training camp yesterday was, you know what? Before we get to that, we do have a caller on the line here. What's as we're talking about this Mike Milbury thing. Julie in Vermont. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi. I've listened to you guys for a long time, and I'm happy to be calling in. I really admire Chris in particular for his intelligent takes. I think you guys are completely missing the boat on this Mike Milbury thing. I would direct your attention. You probably don't have a subscription because the way you operate, but Katie Strand on The Athletic wrote a great response yesterday, and it was titled, How Can There Not Be a Better Alternative, basically, to Mike Milbury? He brings nothing in terms of analysis that's insightful to the game. I think that's been a long-standing problem with him. But I'm not surprised that you don't get the issue here because, in particular, Jim, you tend to refer to women as road beef, which is something that has bugged me for a long time. It could not possibly be more demeaning. And you tend to have empathy and understanding for many other groups that get maligned and have been in the news lately, and Chris in particular, you know, extremely sensitive, of course, and understanding and bringing insight to Black Lives Matter and many issues like that. But,
Did I let her? I didn't mean to do that. You still there? You're still there? Sorry.
Still there?
That. Yeah.
I am still
okay.
There.
Okay, go ahead. Excellent. Keep going. Sure.
My final point is just that for both of you guys, women are still the group that you seem to have no problem denigrating and diminishing. You both fall back on the, you know, Boston as having, for some reason, a group of less attractive women, and you call them by numbers, and you know, you do have women listeners. You do have women in your own lives. I don't understand how you can still talk about a group of people that way. And so, again, not surprising that you are missing the point entirely of why people are reacting like this to Mike Milbury.
So I'll just be honest. I just want to ask you, so I didn't actually hear Milbury's comments, and I did say I'm not defending them. You're saying we're missing the point. Can you just for us illustrate, you know, what the point was? Is this sort of like, for example, you know, I would completely understand if Milbury went out there and said, oh, you know, Tuukka Rask played like a girl. That's offensive. And I understand where that would be offensive. Mm-hmm. Is this, in your mind, sort of a similar thing, what he said? You know, sort of the old phrase, somebody throws like a girl. And it's like, well, that's offensive. What is that supposed to mean? In your mind, is this sort of the same thing, what his comment was?
I think it's on that same continuum. And he also, by the way, has, you know, documented history of those comments. As a coach and as an analyst, I think he himself termed his comment in his, like, quote-unquote apology as he was trying to be irreverent.
He did say that.
Well, the part of the definition of irreverence is disrespect. And his disrespect towards women, especially women in all capacities who may be related to people in the bubble. So I don't know what his point was, but he managed to disrespect a wide variety of women, including all the people holding down the fort at home for the players who are there. You know, it's difficult on both sides of that. So that was my point. And again, Katie Strand on The Athletic said it way better than I am articulating, but it happened to be a piece that I sent to the men in my family because we're all hockey fans and we've all had no patience for Mike Milbury for a long time just because he's so useless in the booth, basically.
All right, Julie, appreciate the time. Yeah, gave you
appreciate
4 minutes there.
Appreciate your perspective, Julie. Thank you for calling.
I think that has a lot to do with it, though, what she said at the end there. It's like a lot of people that I saw blowing up about this on social media was people are just like have had it with Mike Milbury because they look at him as a Cro-Magnon rockhead.
As like kind of a dinosaur.
Yeah, and they want him out. So, yeah. All right, that's how you feel. Me in particular, I don't think the guy should lose his job for this. If it's just a suspension, fine, you get your apology. I don't want to see the man lose his job for this. You would also be right, Julia. I am not a subscriber to The Athletic because over my dead body will I pay for a story.
Oh, I'm reading the story right now.
Yeah. And the term, by the way, that she mentioned, I guess, can I not say that now? Am I going to lose my job or get suspended? Like, it's been around in sports forever. And so that's why I've said it. Did I invent it? No. Sherrilyn Woburn, why don't we go to you real quick here? Mother, of course it's going to lock up on me.
How are you?
Hi, hey, Cheryl.
How's it going, Cheryl?
I'm just, like, so sick of, like, you know, women, oh, my God, this happened. Don't put yourself in the situation. Mike, all he made was a comment, and you know this happened. And I'm just getting so sick of, like, everybody, like, being, like, little snowflakes who can't, you know, deal with shit.
Thanks, B. Rob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, well,
it's interesting. I think I sort of see the first caller's point. And you know, look, it's obvious. I always say this. You have to have empathy for other people. You know, I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I have no idea. I have no idea what my female colleagues in sports media have been through. And the sort of objectification, I get that. I understand that. I guess my question would be, though, like, you know, in the WNBA, are there players that go out and party and look to hook up with whoever they want to, whether it's men or women? Like, I feel like that's sort of a celebrity thing, not just a gender thing. The idea that celebrities, there are certain things that come with being a celebrity, and it seems like maybe people are more eager or inclined to hook up with you than they are just the regular person.
Right. Yeah.
Male or female celebrity. I feel like is that not a thing? And I think it's been a thing in sports for years. Again, male or female. Like, for example, I'll give you this. I've covered the Olympics. And I'll tell you, at the Olympics,
they give out condoms for a reason.
They do. There were stories that were written that included both male and female athletes talking about how much they enjoyed the environment there and that, you know, it's basically like Tinder and that it's a way to relieve stress is to meet somebody and connect with somebody while you're in that bubble. So I guess my question is it taboo to discuss sports and sex? Is that taboo?
I don't know what the hell's going on anymore, Chris. I really don't. You know, again, I as someone who, you know, still wants to practice common sense, but common sense has gone out the window. I think I know what the real bad stuff is. You know, like, just, you know, and you try to be a good person, but, you know, some stuff, can we still have, apparently laughing, having a old, you know, can we josh around about certain things anymore? Apparently not. So I guess I'll have to keep that in my private life. And you people just want boring. Y'all want boring now, huh? All right. Okay, well, let's just, we'll come back here and we'll give you some patience.
I'm glad they got rid of Jeremy Roenick. Like, I thought his comments about Catherine, I thought that was completely inappropriate, what he said about Catherine. And I don't agree with these, and I'm not defending these Milbury comments, but the one thing I would ask is, can we just have sort of...
Well, in that
like,
case...
Like, everything's like the death penalty. Can we just have degrees? So,
oh, Mike no, Milbury, no, no,
that... Mike Milbury misspoke. I agree with that. But, and if you think he's a poor analyst, then I get that. But let's not combine the two things and say, well, he misspoke. I think he's a poor analyst. Fire him.
And Catherine Tappan was pissed, you know, so like, and she was uncomfortable with it. So,
she's,
you know,
rightfully so.
Yeah, like, that's an HR violation, dude. Like, you got to go. In this case, he misspoke. Got to go. Fire him. Hate him. He's a rocket. Doesn't bring anything to as an analyst anyway. So, all right. Okay. You all want boring now. Okay. Coming up next on this program, Gaspar Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I have to be better now. We will be better. And we will get into the New England Patriots. Seems like there's a concern at the quarterback position for young Jarrett Stidham. And we don't want to be too hard on him because he's got this injury. How it was caused, it's none of our business. Maybe it was, well, you know what, I don't want to expound on that any further. We will get to some takes on Jarrett Stidham. Calm, collected, cool takes on Jarrett Stidham next. How about that? On 98.5 of Sports. We're going to be better here on Gaspar and Murray.
This is Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Yeah, this is a leg injury for Jarrett Stidham, the second-year quarterback who's been in the mix for potentially the starting quarterback job. As of right now, he is on the practice field. He is out at practice. Unclear how much he's actually going to do. From what it was told to me, and this is something I've reported with colleague Mike Giardi, he is going to be very limited today. We'll see if he actually does anything, but he is out there with a helmet, kind of sort of going through stretching with his teammates. He's gotten checked out by some doctors over the last little bit. And, you know, if you were wondering for Stidham why over the last 2 or 3 days he maybe hasn't quite looked like himself at practice and his interceptions picked up, just didn't seem, from what I could tell, like he had a lot in the football, this would explain it. This would explain why he has just not been the quarterback he was earlier. And so for Jarrett Stidham, this is something we're going to have to continue to monitor, and we'll see how much he actually does at practice today.
That was Ian Rappaport on Jarrett Stidham yesterday. It's Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. He's got some sort of hip injury. Mike Giardi, NFL Network, said it's going to leave him less than 100% for the next few weeks as training camp continues. I feel like this just paves the pathway for Cam Newton. Cam Newton is going to be your starting quarterback for the New England Patriots week one against Miami. Are you ready to accept that? After all the Jarrett Stidham we've had shoved down our throats by certain media members that cover the team over the last year, starting with training camp last year, I've never seen a rookie quarterback look this good. Oh, even better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, this kid is the next guy, the heir apparent to Tom Brady, and on it went. Now he's got a bum hip and he's going to lose his job to Cam Newton just like that when he should be the heir apparent. Now, I'm for that. As soon as they signed Cam Newton, Chris, I thought he was going to be the starting quarterback given his resume, and he should be. But with this, it almost feels like Cam's going to get the job by default.
Yeah, I mean, again, I sort of question how legitimate and serious this quarterback competition really is. Is it a genuine quarterback competition, or is it like the one last year between Stidham and Hoyer, which Hoyer won, but Bill had predetermined that Stidham was going to win. And it was close. Don't get me wrong. It was close. It's not like Stidham got blown out, but Hoyer was better. And so was this one where it was going to be like that, where as long as Cam was close, he was going to get it all along? I feel like that's really what this is. But I just don't like it. At this point, I feel like keeping up this conceit is not worth it and is not in the best interest of the team, because at the end of the day, it is going to be Cam. And with a truncated training camp and no offseason and a guy who's brand new to your playbook, he needs every rep he can get. So if Stidham's hurt and Stidham's going to be the backup and he's not 100%, or we're going to make excuses for every rep he has that's bad, sort of like Ian Rappaport did, well, this is why he's throwing these interceptions, because he has this hip injury. I don't think that's the case. Then just give all the reps to Newton. And as I've said about Hoyer repeatedly, there's nobody better prepared to play with minimal reps than Hoyer. That's his NFL life. That's his job. He knows that's his job. That's the job of a backup quarterback, to not get a ton of reps and be ready to go when your name and your number is called.
And you've been at some of the training camps this week. I don't know, has Cam looked like he's ready to take the reins here and be the quarterback of this team?
I think from this standpoint, guys gravitate to him and they respect him and they treat him like he's the leader. I think other guys who played in the NFL look at Cam Newton and have a lot of respect for him and say, not to be all Terrell Owens on you, but that's my quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a little bit of that. They like Cam Newton. He has, you know, he has some swag to him, and there's a confidence level, I think, that he instills in other players. J.C. Jackson talked the other day, Jim, and said, I like Cam. You know, he brings the energy we need on the field. I think you hear that from more and more Patriots guys.
Again, go back to some of the social media posts the day that signing was announced from leaders on this team, like Stephon Gilmore, Devin McCourty, James White. Like, they were ecstatic that they had signed Cam Newton. So what, you think that's not going to translate to the field as well? Like, that's, I don't know, it's one of the other reasons I think that I think he needs to be the guy, again, given that he's actually healthy, which it seems like he is. Looking at him, the hitch in his giddy up when it comes to the shoulder at all? Do you see anything that is concerning to you?
No, not really. I mean, it's hard to tell. These sessions aren't full speed, but it looks like he can deliver the ball. My biggest concern with Cam Newton is I think he's going to have to speed it up processing-wise and in and out of the huddle. He's very deliberate. Like, he gets the play.
Slow wind-up.
They go to the huddle. He's in the huddle. He's, like, on one knee. He gives the play. They're still in the huddle. He gets up off one knee out of the huddle like he's 85 years old. He sort of lumbers to the line. I don't think any of that has to do with health. It's just sort of the pace I think he's used to playing and practicing at. And that's not the way the Patriots do it. So he's going to have to pick it up. The whole procedure, the whole operation's going to have to be a little bit quicker getting to the line.
We're talking about the Mike Milbury comments in the prior segment. Mike and Woburn, I wanted to talk about that. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, let me ask you just a quick question. If Mike Milbury had said nightlife or relationships, do you think the outrage would be as bad? Because I think that's what he was referring to.
That's what I thought he was referring to.
Yeah, I don't think it would be as bad, but he did he misspoke. I mean, the way
he absolutely stepped in it. I'm not going to say that he didn't. But, you know, Tyler Seguin was traded from this town because of rumors of him acting irresponsibly.
Yes.
And part of it was fraternization with women. I mean, and Eric Carlson was traded because of the whole Mike Hoffman fiasco, you know? So relationships, I think, are a valid thing that can cause strife in the locker room, which Milbury probably has dealt with. If you go down a rabbit hole and read about all the rumors of what has gone on in NHL locker rooms over the years.
Yeah,
I think that's
a legitimate point. Yeah, just his experience as a coach. What he was trying to convey, I think, was not coming from, you know, sort of a misogynistic standpoint, but more from his experience as a coach. But he didn't articulate it correctly.
Exactly. And I'm not excusing NHL players either. Patrick Kane acting like a doorknob, filling up pages and pages of deadspin going on a rampage in University of Wisconsin years ago, is him being an idiot.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with women. It's him being a fool and players being prone to that type of behavior. When you get people in an environment where you can eliminate all types of temptations in terms of going out and I believe it starts with alcohol. Let's exonerate women completely. It starts with the booze with these guys.
Oh, totally.
And that's where the problem comes from. If they all had their families with them, I don't think it would be an issue. I think actually some of these guys would probably be more comfortable, but just the logistics of the bubble prevent that. But will Milbury saying women in particular stepped on a hornet's nest?
Oh, for sure. Mike, what do you think of some quick thoughts on this upcoming series with Tampa?
I'm actually looking forward to it. I feel like, you know what, if they want to win the cup, then they have to beat the iron of the league, and they got to go through Tampa. They dodged a bullet by their boogeyman, Braden Holtby, getting eliminated, and they're not going to get a primrose pass like they did last year. They didn't, because they ran into the hottest goaltender in the NHL, who turned into a pumpkin this year. But I I think they've got to beat Tampa, and if they do, I think they'll have the armor of contempt for everybody else in the league, because I think Tampa is the best team remaining.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, and you believe that if the Bruins are able to get out of this, then they'll go to the Stanley Cup final.
I do. I think whoever wins this series is going to represent the East. I think these are the two best teams. And that's no disrespect. Look, hockey's weird. You never know. This Carter Hart kid is playing great for the Flyers. I said this before. Of all the bizarre, unsettling things that have happened in 2020, I put the Flyers having a Stanley Cup caliber goalie right at the top of the list.
And he's referring to, when he says the hot goalie, Jordan Binnington, who turned into a pumpkin this time around.
He did.
They got eliminated by the Vancouver Canucks last night. That's a pretty damn fun team. I don't know if you've watched much of them or stayed up
late. Canucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, with
really
with
good
with
on the
Hughes,
power play. Yeah.
Quinn Hughes, yeah. Yeah, they are. I haven't seen a ton of them.
But Binnington looked like ass in this series in the few games that I did watch, or just popping in and out. And it does make you feel like, you know, after what happened with the Bruins last year and catching that team and as hot as that kid got from January on, it's like, oh, God. And it's just, man, what a fickle position that is in that league. You know, goalies just get hot for a year and then they just drop off the face of the planet. It's like, couldn't we have gotten 2020 Binnington instead of 2019 Binnington? But of course not, because that's 2020, isn't it? We'll be back after this. Got about a half hour to go here on Gasper Murray. You want to join us, 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That amazing kid you raised.
Listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Great opportunity for Junior right here.
This is in the air to right field. Back it goes. Nando has done it again. Fernando Tatis Jr., a grand slam. And the Padres go on top 14-3. Two home runs, seven RBIs for Fernando Tatis Jr.
All right, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Chris Gasper. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Earlier this week, Fernando Tatis hit a grand slam, which was very exciting, as grand slams typically are in baseball, which doesn't have a lot of excitement in it. But he broke one of baseball's unwritten rules. Oh, tisk, tisk. And then came a lot of pearl clutching, not just from the Rangers, who were mad that he did this, uncouth, but even his own manager of the San Diego Padres, whose name I don't know, and I don't even want to know, and I forget it at this point.
Because is it Andy Green?
Is that who the hell knows? Either way, this thing, I hate it for a million different reasons. And the biggest reason of all, though, Chris, is that it is the epitome of everything that is wrong with this sport. The old guard in Major League Baseball, by and large, too wrapped up in their feels. So our feelings about how things were and how things are supposed to be in the game, the unwritten rules of baseball. And you better show respect in baseball. And if you don't, we'll make sure you're going to be shamed into oblivion and you're going to play the game the right way, Fernando Tatis Jr. This stupid sport, Chris, more and more, it's nothing more than old, angry dudes whining about how things were in the good old days. And you wonder why it's become a niche sport, and it has. And why people, by and large, don't care about it anymore. It's stuff like this and how they handled Fernando Tatis. And haven't they had, like, four Grand Slams since?
Yeah, that was the great call from Don Orsillo. Oh. They had Grand Slams in four straight games. And the fourth game, his call was, "Welcome to Slam Diego," which was awesome.
I mean, it's this dumb unwritten rule stuff. You're not supposed to hit home runs now? You're not supposed to hit Grand Slams? I've never heard of that rule where you're supposed to make outs with a big lead. This is so stupid.
Well, it's like a lot of the rules, and we talk about this all the time. People say these are rules that are inherent to the game, unwritten rules. No. They're inherent to the way the game's played in America and the people in America who have played the game and shaped it in that way, the Madison Bumgartners of the world. If you watch the KBO, if you watch games in Taiwan, if you watch Nippon Professional Baseball, it's different. There are bat flips, and you can do some of this stuff. So to just say, like, oh, this has always been a thing in the sport. No, this is the American version of the sport. And now shouldn't we have a version of baseball that is more diverse and that actually reflects America instead of just one group of people and what their sensibility is about the sport? You know, shouldn't it reflect Fernando Tatis Jr. and other people in the sport who are Tim Anderson? I love Tim Anderson of the White Sox. I mean, that man knows how to flip a bat.
Yeah.
And if you watch, and I'll tell you this right now, and I'm not just saying this, you know, cousin Jared Carrabas, he is the best ambassador that baseball has going right now. I would say that I get 75% of my baseball news and highlights from that guy. And you know what he does a lot of? It's bat flips and home runs. And that's the stuff he's putting out there. That's the stuff that connects to the younger generation. So no MLB. You don't want Chris Woodward and the whiny Rangers stopping somebody like Tatis from hitting grand slams and flipping bats and being demonstrative and celebrating, because that's what's going to keep your sport alive. Not the Chris Woodwards or whoever the manager of the Rangers is. And people that, and by the way, the Rangers are the same whiny team that complained about Joey Bautista, Joey Bats doing the bat flip in the playoffs. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then who was it? Rougned Odor, who punched him in the face at second base. Do you remember that whole thing?
Yeah. And then there was the thing last year that it was, I think it was against the Red Sox with the, was it the 300 strikeouts or whatever?
Oh, yeah. They like dropped a pop up.
Mike Minor, I think it was.
Yeah. Dropped a pop up on purpose so the guy could get a strikeout. I mean, which is whatever. I mean, that's fine. But if you're going to do that, then don't come back and criticize somebody else. I'm so tired of the unwritten rules of baseball.
I mean, don't bunt to break up a no-hitter, which if you do that, how funny would that be? Like, I don't care how mad you get. Like, I don't know. Like, that kind of stuff. Don't steal bases when your team's way ahead. Don't flip your bat. Don't preen for home runs. Like, God forbid you have some fun in this game. And it's like you say, so Jared Carrabas of Barstool, you know, he's pro-fun, he's pro-funny, and he's a great ambassador, the best ambassador for Major League Baseball, and they're just so against all of it. And the sport is dying. I don't care what anyone says. Like, it's people care less and less by the day, especially around here, as the Red Sox are now just like a laughing stock. Oh, but they've had this winning streak. Yay. Ooh. Yay. Good.
Yeah,
for
we
them.
Didn't even talk about their trade. Can you imagine the Red Sox make a trade where they trade their closer? And we didn't even talk about it on this show. Like, think about that just from the standpoint of the Red Sox.
Ugh,
like, when would that happen in the past in sports talk radio where the Red Sox trade their closer? And, you know, we haven't gotten to that today.
Yeah, Chris, they used to, you know, I mean, back in the day, 15, 20 years ago, they drove sports talk
100%.
Radio in this town. Now, it's like, it's a niche thing. It really is.
And I mean, you do the baseball reporters. I'll be interested to see what the feedback is or what, you know, what it's been this year to the team and what people say on Monday to you and Maz about them trading Workman and Hembree. Do they care?
I don't know if people care. You know, Maz put up a poll the other day on his personal page asking if you could go to Fenway for free, would you right now? And I think it was like 81% of the respondents said no.
Oh, that's really negative. That's dark. I would go to Fenway just for, I mean, I love sports, number one, but also just to be at Fenway. I mean, Fenway itself is an attraction.
We got a couple of people still hanging on the Milbury conversation from earlier in the hour. Dan in the car. Go ahead. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
Real quick, I equate Milbury's comment, and again, I haven't really even listened to the clip yet, but as far as, like, the internet and its reaction to when we were kids, I don't know if you guys are parents yet, but I've raised two kids. If you ever scraped a knee in your life, you know that if you happen to be around your parents or a grown-up when that happens, if they overreact and make it seem like it's the end of the world, it's going to hurt more. Versus if they say, hey, get up, dust it off, it's okay, it's going to hurt less, right? Is that a fair...
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry. I'm not quite understanding how it connects to this Milbury thing.
Yeah, I let him go because his phone sucked too. I think it was more like people are just oversensitive, I think is what he was getting at.
All right.
And I am not a parent. That is not in our plans, thankfully. I can't speak for Chris and his wife. But for the kid here, no. That's why we work. I think it was date three. Said, by the way, no kids for old Jim here. And she's like, all right, no, I'm with that. Thank God. Stephen Weymouth, go ahead. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Guys, hi.
You guys are the anti-Haywards.
Go ahead, Steve.
A couple points. I don't even like Mike Milbury, and I apologize for the quality of my phone. I'm from Pittsburgh. He hates Pittsburgh because of the all Samuelson Cam Neely thing. He's a jago, but he didn't do anything wrong, I don't think. He was just referencing, distractions. And someone previously had mentioned alcohol, which is absolutely right. But my point for calling is to defend Big Jim. And the previous caller, Joy, she was saying, you know, Jim saying road beef, this, that, and the other. She, too, should check her own bias because saying hold down the fort, that's racist towards Native Americans. So let's everybody stop being so damn soft and toughen up a little bit. Rub some dirt on yourself. Let's go. Wake up. Love you guys. Best show on sports radio.
Thanks, Steve. And I saw a story today that was getting retweeted that apparently there's going to be another close meteor like the night before the election or
yeah,
maybe night
yeah,
of.
I did see that, yeah.
And boy, you can I'll tell you what I'm rooting for.
I know what you're rooting for. I know what you're rooting for. Well, it's definitely going to hit us now that the Flyers have Carter Hart. Like, this is over. There's no way the Flyers will be allowed to have a goalie this good for this long.
Yeah, what are you bringing me here, B-Rob? Let's see. Can I print up my headlines for Hook? He can do them. Can I print from this computer? I don't even know. Every time I try to have something try to work here, it doesn't work. But I will do my best. And so Marshall Hook can do the
Marshall Hook's in the building.
The headlines at 2 o'clock. What have you have you actually paid any attention to Fenway? Is WCVB channel TV channel 5 sent you down there? I know you've done a lot of hits from outside old Fenway.
Yeah, no,
Park.
I was there for the training camp part of it. Yeah, I was in there. The park looks great. I mean, that's what I miss the most is the park. It's fun. It's still fun to be in the park.
Is it?
Yeah, I love the. I mean, the park's fun. The park's cool. I mean. I don't know. Maybe that's the little kid in me. But I do like the park. And this is the thing, I think, from a Red Sox standpoint. It's sad they're going to have no fans this year. But even when the Red Sox were bad, and they're bad. I mean, this is like Bob Zupczyk bad. That's what I've said. Do you remember the Bob Zupczyk years?
Barely.
It was like 92, 90. Oh, God, they were so bad. But even during years.
Yes, you know, that's when Tony Fossus was around.
Yeah, Tony Fossus.
There was a game. So this was like Big Hurt era. I'll never forget this. This was around 92, and I was like massively way into the Red Sox like and baseball cards, and I loved Frank Thomas when he first came up. And I remember as a kid, Chris, the ball had just left Tony Fossus' hand while he was throwing it to Frank Thomas, and I went, oh, no! And Frank Thomas hit the longest home run I've still ever seen in my entire 43 years. Like, it was one of the – you just knew because he was a monster of a man in his prime. And he hit it over the Green Monster, like, onto the pike. It was just an absolute bomb. So, so Bob Zupczyk, if you said for Tony Fossus or something, you know, that
– Yeah, Bob Zupczyk, Scott Cooper, Tony Fossus.
Oh, yeah, no, now I know.
Two-time All-Star Scott Cooper.
But at least there was maybe it's because you can't go. There was still something fun about – I don't know, paying attention to the team and just how awful that they were. This has been terrible from the rip. It really has.
They played a little better of late. I mean, look, I'd say Verdugo's interesting. I like him. It's nice to see Bogaerts turn it around. Devers has really turned it around. That bodes well for the future. But I will say this. I'm team fire sale. Like, everything and every player who's not bolted down, although I do have some, you know, reservations from a human standpoint of trading guys during a global pandemic, but I guess they're allowing it. So that's what it is. But you know, every player, everything that's not bolted down, it's one of those things like everything must go, you know, I'm all for that. And honestly, I would also consider trading Bogaerts, not because I don't want him.
You would.
Not because I don't want him on the team, but I'm just curious, will he still be here when they turn it around? He has this trade situation where once they hit September the 6th, he can veto any trade and he has an opt out after 2022. I would say if a team can get him for the next 2.5 years, that's 3 pennant races. What could you get back for him? I'd at least explore it.
Yeah, do you trust Heim Bloom and this brass to actually get a decent return? I would think it would have to be so, like, that guy's such a building block. I think he genuinely likes being here. Are you gonna get 2 frontline pitchers? Like, if you can get something like that, then fine.
I don't know. I'm not saying trade him just to trade him, but I mean explore it. Like, for example, I don't think this would ever happen, but hypothetically, if the Dodgers were like, we'll give you Dustin May and Gavin Lux for Bogaerts, I'd be like, done deal. I'm doing that deal.
All right.
So if you can get the equivalent of that, you do it.
With that, let's get to 5 questions for Chris Gass. We got nothing to do with sports.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, we're doing this at this point because, you know, yours truly here has a tea time.
The boy has a tea time.
I'd like to try to make. Okay. Question number 1, the average couple dates nearly 5 years before getting married. How long did you and your wife date before you got married?
I was 5.5 years, so I think we were right on.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Playing to the statistics. Question number 2. If you were to reflect on your back-to-school days, did you ever have any bad back-to-school experiences? In other words, getting beat up at recess, getting pantsed, something like that?
Not that I can remember. There was one time back to school, I definitely got bullied and like pushed around because I wore a Patriots shirt. This was when the Patriots were really bad.
Laughing.
And it was like the time like you didn't acknowledge you like watched the Patriots. I did get sort of like pushed around, bullied a little bit for wearing a Patriots shirt in junior high.
This is what you get for having fandom.
Yeah.
Question number 3. On that note, with back to school.
Yes.
Do you miss the back-to-school shopping.
Yes, 100%. I loved it. It's like the smell of a fresh Trapper Keeper was the best.
So you're originally from Lynn. Do you remember Pennyworth? Is it still
100%,
there? 100%,
yeah.
Is it still there?
I remember Pennyworth. I don't know.
There was one in the North Shore Mall. That was like the spot to go to for back-to-school shopping.
Yeah.
Always getting like Champion hoodies and all that kind of stuff.
I'd always have to get
It is
like,
still
you know,
there. Hook is telling
I'd
me
I'd have
it's...
to get like the new latest like sweatpants. You know, I had the sweatpants. You remember like this was a thing like back in the late 80s, early 90s, but the sweatpants that had your town on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had
like down the leg.
The ones that had like Lynn down the leg, yeah.
Question number four. Which TV show would you love to be on? It can be a reality show or a scripted show that you feel like you could act on and be a good cast member.
Oh, that's so hard. I don't know. I mean, from a reality standpoint, so my wife's going to get so mad at me right now. I would say I would want to be on Temptation Island.
And mine would be Chopped. And my wife hates watching that show with me because every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, you can't use cotton candy. It's going to ruin whatever you're going to try to use it. And I would refuse to use that. And she's always telling me, no, you have to use all the ingredients. And I would refuse to use all the ingredients because certain ingredients shouldn't go. That you open up that basket and you're like, what am I going to do with oyster sauce? Like, I can't do it. So that's the show I would want to be on. Final question. With movie theaters opening back up, Chris, would you be comfortable going into a movie theater during these COVID times to go watch a movie?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm not.
That's a spot that I don't... I just was having this conversation with a buddy of mine, too. He's like, oh, movies are opening up. I'm going to go. I'm like, 3 hours, basically, because all the movies are 3 hours now. In a closed room with very, I don't know, like not a
and
lot
it's
of.
It's dark.
Yeah, dark. Yeah, the air doesn't really move around all that much. Like, yeah, look, I don't want to see any business go under, but it's, look, these are crazy trying times. Like, that's one place you won't catch me at till, I don't know, maybe ever again. Like, I ain't going to movies for a long time.
Yeah, I'm probably, I mean, we'll see. There have to be a really good movie that would draw me in. Like, I'm bummed that this Top Gun Maverick is now not coming out till 2021. Like, honestly, if that came out tomorrow, I would just, you know, don my mask and gloves and go because I want to see that movie.
What's the Christopher Nolan one?
Tenet.
Like,
finally coming
that's
out.
That's the one, like, a few of my buddies, too, are like, oh, I'm going to see that. Like, all those Christopher Nolan movies are all kind of the same. Anyway.
They really are. Inception is still one of my favorites.
All right. With that, so concludes Five Questions for Chris Gasper at Channel 5. We will a lot of Chris on Channel 5 over the next couple of days. Yeah?
Yeah. Anchoring tonight. We have the WCVB Channel 5. We have the Celtics pregame show at noon. Leading into Celtics Sixers and ABC, their coverage will pick up at 12:30. The game's at 1, so check us out.
All right, Brian, Rob, thanks for producing the show as well. Catch his Celtics coverage at BostonSportsChannel.com. That will do it for yours truly. Talk to you Monday. Oh, no, I won't. I'm off till Wednesday, so whatever. See you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.